Welcome to episode 185 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach, and I'm joined by fellow Run to PB coach, and look, really, he's the man who makes everything happen on this podcast, Zach and Newman. How are you, mate?
I'm good, Chriso. Yeah, including making you do the intros.
Well, mate, I do the intro and then I'm quiet, but you're the man, you put all of this together. You're the person who actually makes sure it gets out on the airwaves so other people can listen to it.
That's true, although we must admit our last 10 minutes have been just making sure we've got our ducks in a row tonight because we've both been haven't been able to get too much prep in. But we do have an exciting guest that's going to join us, so
We do.
we're excited for that, mate. It's someone fresh off a couple of big PBs.
That's how we like them. No,
Yeah.
it's had some great progression over the last couple of years, and it's obviously had a really successful summer training block and seen that pay off over the last couple of weeks. So looking forward to delving into that and hearing a bit of a backstory.
Rumors that our guest has become a bit of a super shoe nuffy of late, and it could be influenced by their coach, but
Yes.
we'll dig into that later, I think.
No, I think looking forward to hearing about that and just some of the sage pearls of wisdom that have been passed on as well. So, no.
Did you catch a bit of Tokyo Marathon?
Not as much as I would have liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sort of tricky. Being over in Bendigo, and didn't get home till about 2 o'clock. And
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
the old phone reception isn't the best for the internet to connect between Kyla and Bendigo. So I was a bit out of the loop. I came home and I think one of the first things I did when I opened Twitter or X as it's now called, and the first thing that flashed up was a picture of Kipchoge in about 10th. So I'm like, oh, okay. He's
He's
had
topped
a
the bake, hasn't he? I mean, he runs 206 and
people are saying like he's finished. I'm like,
he's
the man
done.
ran
Yeah.
206. Like, come on.
And the guy's been going since like, oh, he's about 60 years old, but he's like run, 2003, he won a world champs. Like, we're talking good part of 20 years. Yeah. Okay. He might be on the D. He's still going to go to an Olympics. I mean, they've selected him. So, it's going to be an interesting to see how it plays out. But Mattress and Gemma were out in the ground, mate. We had our own eyes on the Tokyo Marathon. Some footage came through, and I think Gemma posted some footage of the great man in action. So that would have been pretty cool to see.
Anytime you get close enough to actually, well, you wouldn't even hear him run past. The man makes no noise when he runs, but yeah, I think just to catch a glimpse, that would be so amazing. And no doubt the atmosphere at Tokyo, the snippets that I saw, it looked absolutely electric, as it would be with, one of the world major marathons. So no, I was hoping to catch a bit of Ollie potentially running, but no, it doesn't appear to have gotten too many
Yeah,
K's in the young fella while he's been overseas, but
he's been floating around some of the temples and shrines, and just full travel mode for Ollie. He's been killing it. Hey, mate, take us to Bendigo, because last week you let us know that you were going to jump in the Bendigo Fun Run. It's set up and run by good friend of the show. He's been on a couple of times, Nigel Preston, the big dog race director. Massive numbers. I saw the socials. I saw they hit, how many did they get in the 10K?
Oh,
Overall, maybe that was big numbers across the event.
I reckon there was around 500, 500 or 600 in the 10K. But overall, between there was a 5K, a 10K, a half, and also a kids 1K event.
Yeah.
And they had, I think it was 1,941, I think, from the official email that comes through. But one, I was, look, recency bias aside, and I'm guilty of that at times, but one of the better fun runs I've ever been to.
Okay, that's a
Probably
big
like
call for yourself.
definitely regional, probably like, and if I, yeah, it's hard to compare, I guess, a regional fun run to the bigger city one. So you've got Gold Coast and Melbourne, which I've been to a heap, but as far as regional fun runs go, and I've been part of the one here at Shepparton for a long time, this was better than anything we put on a chip.
He's a bloody good operator, Nige, and the team at single track, and
That is
what
the
are some of the
nicest.
things they tick the box?
Oh, mate, just super well organized. Got an email. I think it was either on the Friday or the Saturday with my bib number. And they said, look, bring your phone, bring your email. And they had the bibs all in number order. So I just found that straight away. People were getting in and out super quick. The event village is in Roseland Park in Bendigo, which is a nice big park. So there was heaps of space, and it's right in the middle of town. So the heap lots of parking either side, but all around. So you could get to it really easy. The park's a really big area. Nigel had toilets right next to the start line, so it was really easy to get to. But as it so turns out, there's a lot of public toilets both in and around the park, at the Queen Elizabeth Oval, which is only like 500 meters away, which is a great place to do a warm up. And the course as well, I thought was brilliant. Being a bit of an out and back course, with I guess with a couple of loops to make sure you weren't running into people, but at different stages you would see people that you recognized, which in a race is, I find, really cool. I know, vivid memories of seeing you at the wellness run, Zaka, cheering me on and telling me to smile a few years ago. But
Oh, I
it
thought you
was
meant the other one.
no, oh gosh,
I
no, that was a negative day. We don't
don't
talk
think I
about
was
that
waving out the
anymore.
back of an ambulance, but anyway.
No. Yeah, just spurring me on. No, he said we wouldn't mention that again. No,
It's only
so
been a run that one run a week is usually
yeah,
popular. But anyway.
no, but love the course, the vibe of the event. Like, it was a really nice family atmosphere, and at the finish line as well, you sort of come in, you get your medal. There was fruit everywhere, so if you're after some pears or bananas, heaps of that, lots of drinks. You could just tell that the person who was putting it together, which in this case is Nigel and his team, had been to a lot of fun runs, does it all the time, and just gets it from a runner's
That's
perspective.
100%. Yeah. You can
Like
really
I
tell when a runner's had their eye, had touched it and looked at it and gone, this is actually what runners prioritize and need. And yeah, from
Yeah.
all account, unbelievable event, and it's only growing massive numbers this year. And it's with this running boom,
Yeah.
it's more of it, more ahead.
No, I was
They
very, very impressed, and we'll be going along next year, I think, at this stage. It's a big call. I'm 52 weeks out, but no, the guy
the
is,
entry now, early bird entry. Nigel will
yeah,
book
he'll
this
have it
event.
up and running. But no, we had an absolute ball. I mean, we went over with a group that we would have had close to 20 people involved with the Shepherd and Runners Club, and of that, I would have had maybe six run to PB athletes as well.
Yeah, I was looking
That was
through
cool.
some of the coaches that sent through the results, and yeah, there's gosh, there was we counted upwards of 20 athletes throughout, including your own, and Soph had a few. Andy had a, Andy obviously one of the king of Bendigo down there. He was rolling around. I think I heard he jogged around for a half marathon win,
Yeah.
just for a cruisy run. There was Benny Stoltz. He had his stable out there. Gosh, there was quite a few there. I know a lot of PBs and some great performances. I know Matt, I think, had a couple down there. I had one. So yeah, it was really well supported from I guess from our side, and then your crew that you got a chance to run with.
Yeah, no, it was just a good day. We had a bit of fun as well. Got a photo. There's a in the park there. There's a Bendigo sign. It's quite. It's it'd be, I don't know what, 7 foot tall. I mean, you can sort of nice big letters that you can sort of fit your body into. So we all thought we'd, it'd be a great idea to go and get a photo in front of that. And here's Phil. Bendigo obviously got an N in it, so someone had to stand on a bit of an angle to get into the N. He was the first person in there. He could have chosen any of the other letters, but he just couldn't resist it. Anyway, we've sort of stirred him up a little bit, going, Phil, you'll get stuck, and quick as a no, I won't. And then he was the last to get out because he was actually a little bit stuck in the end. At the end,
Well, he dropped
so
the 57-minute 10K earlier,
oh, just and
as you
catch,
do.
casually as well. 57 minutes at 81 years of age, and didn't go full noise either. Had a bit of gas in the tank there at the end. Obviously a little bit fatigued, but
Did he
working
do a
to.
parkrun the day before?
No, well, no. I gave him five.
Morning? He didn't, yeah, he usually double races.
Oh, yeah, look, he has been known to misbehave at times, Phil. But no, 5K easy, and is currently putting in the training to run the half marathon at Geelong coming up in the first week of April. So watch this space on that one. It,
Yeah,
he's
bigger now.
it, mate. He is in good form. Don't you worry about that. So, and making it, mate. He's making an appearance at Wangaratta in not this weekend coming, but the following weekend.
Nice.
March 17, doing the 10K as part of his long run. So,
That's
yes.
decent. You got out and did, according to Strava, I think you ran about a 37, 34.
Yes. Oh, it's hard to talk about
That
because
was that what your plan? Because what did we talk about last week? I think you said you might do a pace job, maybe.
Maybe like I'd like to have run around maybe threshold effort, but I didn't really know what that was going to equate to pace wise.
Yeah.
The intention, and there's a big difference between what the intention was and what actually happened. So, got out in the first K, and I thought, no, if let's start in the hot, like high 350s around 4 minutes, and then we can just ease into it and then get to 6K feeling really good, hopefully. And then that last 4K just try and pick it up. And let's just say 300 meters in, I probably got out a bit quick and that plan soon went out the window. So, yeah, it kind of turned into a 10K effort where I ran a bit within myself, but yeah, I got to 6K thinking, yep, I can maintain this effort. And when I suppose you got to 6K and you head back in towards town. You are running into a bit of a headwind, and there's not, look, they're not hills that you could barely call them undulations, but it's a little bit up on the
Yeah.
way back in. So I lost a few seconds a K on the way back in, and yeah, all up 37, 34. Of course, measured a fraction short on my watch, but so I think the time perhaps flattered me, but call it 38 minutes for 10K. And look, the time's not anything special by. In terms of what I've run before, but mate, I was absolutely bloody pumped because I ran 10K and actually felt all right. I didn't get any chest pain, body held up, got to see some of my mates. I got a very crisp high five from Anna while I was heading back the other way. So that was really cool. And saw Luke Cramery out there, Andrew Crawless, got to run with him, one of your athletes, Zacha, who Andrew thought perhaps I may have been pacing him early on. That was not true. I was actually running to the best of my ability, and then he left me for dead after six
And he had a
Ks. But
blinder, ran 37:08, 07, ran a massive PB.
yeah, like if anything, I slowed him
Very
down.
thankful and very excited to run with you. I got a message. I said I got to run with Chriso for 6K. And yeah, he was pumped.
Yeah, ideally it would have been a bit more, but I couldn't keep up. So yeah, hopefully I did help a little bit, but no, he took off at 6K and that was the end of it. He did wait for me at the finish line though, and we had a good chat afterwards. Absolute riffing fella. So no, that was awesome. But
Getting ready for Ballarat. Hey, before the race, a few minutes before, how did you feel mentally jumping on the line again? I know you were,
yeah.
in a way going, yeah, this is going to be a threshold. I'm not full send. I'm still working through what, health wise I'm at. So did you did you get the feeling of a race? Because, you're in a carnival race atmosphere, like
To be
everyone else
honest,
is around you, there's a bit of nervous energy. Did you cop a bit of that?
I was actually really excited, mainly because, obviously I train with Anna every week, but we very rarely ever get to be at a race together at the same time. So, and she'd been a little bit unwell earlier in the week, so and we didn't even know. So her little boy or one of her boys plays tennis, and he had his tennis semi-final on a Saturday, that if he won, there would have been a grand final on the Sunday, which would have meant that she wasn't going to start. So we didn't even know if she was going to be able to line up until Saturday afternoon. So yeah, it was just kind of cool. Like, oh, sweet, actually here and we get to run. And We just thought, oh, well, let's both just go and enjoy it. So there's that. And obviously, getting to own Nora, I don't get, and I got to do cross country a bit with Nora, but you know, Nora's been in really good shape, had a good summer. So, like, oh, I wonder how she's going to go. And yeah, I was probably just thinking more about other people, to be honest. So I didn't, I mean, I was enjoying the atmosphere, but I wasn't really too concerned or bothered about, you know, how things were going to go from a result standpoint. So yeah, like I was really relaxed, I guess, in that sense, but also excited about the prospect of how everyone else was going to do, because the mate, the conditions were absolutely A1. I think we had a bit of a giggle in the warm-up commenting how we both had death hands where, you know, they've turned white and can't feel them. The toes are all cold because it was actually quite fresh over there. And we got, well,
Oh,
that's
was
it.
it?
Yeah, like it was like 10 degrees,
Oh, wow.
with a bit of a breeze. Not as like it was just cool. It wasn't cold, but enough to make you think, well, this is actually ideal to go racing in. Normally, like the last 3 months, it's been stinking hot and just yuck. But yeah, no, we were spoiled.
Mate, the kit looked very fresh. The blue white and the pink and blue socks matching. Are they did you have Alphas on?
Yeah, I did. I was umming and ahhing about what shoes to wear, and I thought, oh, look, the Alphas aren't really getting a lot of love just sitting in the cupboard. So
Yeah,
thought,
why
look,
not? You need another one.
the 5K track went to shit. Let's just try and put them on and actually see how they go.
Yeah.
So yeah, put them on, and I'll tell you what, they are my favorite super shoe that I've worn. I really love the firmness and the bounce. It's just such a good combination. I think anyone that wore, well, they're a far superior shoe to an Endorphin Pro, but anyone that wore the Endorphin Pro 1 and enjoyed I guess, the little bit extra stability that came in that shoe relative to an Alpha Fly, I think you'll absolutely adore this shoe. So,
That you land
yeah.
yourself a gig on Shoe Geeks with that kind of those sort of statements, mate, with the comparisons. I was actually privy during the week to a conversation with Moose, and a pretty, let's just call it, it's soon to be released, a high profile figure out of the Oregon, out of Portland, out of the Nike head office who was involved in the development of that shoe. And he echoes, he gives a pretty good summary, mate. I reckon he might maybe come and knocking on your door, mate, for a bit
Mate,
of work.
Shoe Geeks is easily my favorite shoe podcast or slash YouTube video to watch. I love the boys and the work they do. But yeah, I know that these shoes are hard to find, but I'm a big fan. I know everyone's going to have different experiences in them because, hey, we've all got different feet. But
Seen the new colorway? New colorway's coming soon.
yes, I
Be dropping soon.
will be trying to purchase another pair.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
I'm a
say that
sucker.
quietly as Nora just turns. Yeah.
I believe she's out in the garden, so
Yeah.
I'm at least safe for a couple of days till she listens to this.
Investment.
Yeah, oh, it is. It's an investment in my own health. So, yeah.
Love it. And pulled up or up.
Yeah, good. The lungs had felt like they'd done something, but the legs, whilst there was some fatigue Monday, Tuesday, I think most of that had settled. And yeah, I might do a session tomorrow, I might not. If I don't do a session tomorrow, it might just mean that I'll run a bit quicker in the long run on Saturday. So we'll wait and see. But yeah, look, overall body's feeling good, no niggles, bit of muscle fatigue. I've never been so excited to have muscle fatigue, to be honest. It feels like I'm doing stuff again. I ran 74Ks for the week, which is still a little bit lower than what I was doing. But yeah, it
Yeah,
feels like I'm,
24K and a solid effort, really, and
yeah,
yeah.
like I'm not killing it. I'm able to run, and I think at the end of the day, that's the important thing for me. So we'll just take it. You know, I hate using the cliches all the time, but you know, we're just going to take it a week at a time and see how the body responds. And hopefully things settle and I'm able to keep doing work. And yeah, I just yeah, but I'm feeling quite positive that the body seems to be healing itself, which is good. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think from where you were when we spoke a few weeks ago, 3 4 weeks ago maybe now, you definitely take the position you're in. And whilst we know we're waiting on more news as to the next stage, it's still yeah, to be knocking out 74K weeks, getting a chance to run around with your mates and have a nice social week again, bloody take that.
Oh, and that's it. Absolutely.
Hey, quickly for me before our guests arrive, nothing groundbreaking on my side. Another sort of 84K, couple of sessions, a modified, like a bit of a three-quarter almost session. It was end of a long day, and I was just thought, no, I want to get something done. So I did a modified leg and did it with Dave, and it was probably a more of a controlled, like, yeah, we were going strong, but we didn't go to the well on it and probably backed off on the recoveries and still, ticked it off, but it was more of a, all right, just get it done and get to the weekend, knowing that we're going to hit a weekend session together. We did 4 by 5 minutes off 90 seconds, so a pretty stock standard one, but good chance to just, coming off that five, whilst, that realistically should be sort of, I like to do them if I'm pushing them along and in a phase where I'm not deep into a block, I don't mind trying to fuel them at sort of 10K effort. And we started, well, the aim was to start at 335s and work down. And we probably got onto the 330s pretty easily. Like Dave was working and doing a session again because I've probably hadn't done a workout with Dave for a couple of weeks. So it was good to have someone next year, and he probably pushed me along a little earlier than I would have probably done myself. And yeah, just went with it, got into a rhythm. And by the third rep, I was kind of, it was a bit of a grind. And the last rep, when we were running 328s or something, 25s, even in that third rep. So knowing that we'd kind of pushed into a pretty strong effort session. My last rep, I just fell away in the last few minutes, just fatigued, really. That's all it came down to. Just paid for maybe being a little hot in the session early and got it done. And yeah, came away really positive. Although I was a bit tight through, I think I mentioned it there last week, just being tight through ITB, a little bit of quad loading. And I was fine the next day. We actually went out to the flats, and I did a bit longer. So I sort of committed to doing the hour 40 loop, which involves some hills. And Kiwi Steve, who he doesn't mind flexing in front of the Melbourne Uni guys, so he was starting to put the heat on and got through it. And then after, I was just like, just the afternoon, I was just like, yeah, this just feel a bit banged up here. And you sort of look back and it's like, well, from Thursday workout into a Friday easy, solid Saturday, solid Sunday, it's probably a bit of a combination of a loading things up. And got out Monday, got through it, but was still a little bit like, no, nah, I think I need to just back off here. So I took Tuesday off just to try and settle it, got in the gym, did some recovery, was better tonight. And just a little bit of watch on it to see where it goes.
I think that's really smart. I think just to listen to your body, and arguably the most important session that you'll do this week is that rest day you had Tuesday, because that's what's going to allow you to, it's always hard to know just how much impact one little rest day can have. But I think just allowing things to settle, especially when you have had some niggles over the last little while, I think that's such a smart and almost brave thing to do, because you've been like religiously just out, 6 days a week, getting in, 70 to 90 Ks, bang, 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 bang. And Tuesday night, that's normally a pretty popular, that's the session night as well. So to be able to pull back, mate, I admire that. Good job.
Yeah, and it's, you know what, like it's a bit of a head tussle because you don't like to, yeah, you go the up, you get that roller coaster. You're like, oh, I felt great in that session, knocked together a long run. Oh, now I've got, feel like I've got a niggle, have I pushed the boat out a little bit? Then you adapt that little voice in the head. It's like, do you just, you know, do you push on? And yeah, it is a battle. And I bounce stuff off Al, you know, he's sort of pseudo coaching at the moment. He's right across everything. So I, you know, having someone in your corner, having your training partners, having someone to say, hey, mate, just, it's fine, you're fit, like you know, a day or, and we get caught up in the, and we're all guilty of just, you know, doing what's on the program, doing what's on the plan, and consistency is great, like stacking it together, but then for the sake of a day, and I may take an extra day this week if it means I drop five and it just gets me out of a hole, then I'll do that. But we'll see, mate. We will see, but we'll carry on. Hey, mate, we've got our guest lined up, so we better let him in.
He's here. Let's go.
This week's guest on the Better With Running podcast signed up in May 2022. At that time, at a PB of 38, 18, 19 over 10K and 19.08 over the 5. He's absolutely demolished these PBs of late, Chris O, down to 34.50 over the 10 on the weekend. And then we saw him going around on the track in a 5K race, ran 17 dead. He's got a 250 marathon to his name as well. So we're going to chat about that. Welcome to the show, Andrew Catchlove.
G'day, Zach. G'day, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we're excited to have you on. I know your coach, Sammy McLean, definitely, mate, he's been peppering my inbox with some of your results of late and the progression you've made. It's pretty cool to see, and we're gonna dig into that a little bit later as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt that since bringing him on board and getting a coach, it's the results of improved a lot. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, we were actually looking at your sign up form when you originally, and I think you'd put in there that you started running in 2016. You didn't have a coach, but you had a plan maybe through Strava that you were working off. And I think, yeah, maybe you can expand on that, how you're hatching your training back then.
Yeah, so I enjoyed myself a fair bit during my 20s and probably early 30s, probably a little bit too much. And I started running a little bit without much sort of guidance. Those were the days when you'd get off from work and just go around the town and just run as fast as you could and do a lap. And that was going for a run. And I sat down with some friends at a dinner one night. And I'd known this guy for ages, one of the guys at the dinner, but I did not know that he was a runner and he'd done XCR and he ran in that mile handicap race at Stawell and a few other bits and pieces. Anyway, we got talking running and he said, "Oh, what do you want to do?" And I said, "Look, I just want to break. Oh, you know, I've done run for the kids and stuff, but I just wanted to break 40 minutes for 10K." That felt like that was. If I could achieve that, that would be enough in running for a guy who spent way too much time on the couch, in his 20s. So it sort of started with that, and then he got me into. I mean, he taught me about tempo and fartlek and all these things that I'd never heard of, and it's just amazing how little the average person who goes for a run once or twice a week knows about how to train. And certainly myself included, it was eye-opening. And then COVID sort of hit in 2020, and I'd made some progress and things, but that was when, through a few guys at work and stuff, I decided that perhaps a marathon might be the way to go. Because you know, I mean, being in Melbourne, there was nothing else to do except go out for a run. And so with the Strava subscription, remember they used to have the you could either get a plan or something as part of your, as it was almost like a member gift.
Yeah, right.
And I think it was, is it McMillan, is that, is he the guy who used to put him on there? So he had like a 12 or 16 week sort of marathon prep that was full of, you know, fast finish long runs and Yasso 800s and all these funny things. And so I did my first marathon off the back of that. And did, it was 2:59:50 or something like that.
That was in the Melbourne, the December 2021 one.
Yeah, so that was that one. And then I sort of got a bit of a taste for it then, because I never thought I'd be able to run a marathon. And then once I did one, I didn't really know how to improve without getting a coach. And eventually, landed with Sammy and kind of gone from there.
Mate, going sub 3 hours first up, did you just feel like you'd clocked running straight away? So this isn't that hard.
I've got to say, I think ignorance is bliss a little bit, because I'd never run a marathon before, and I kind of just figured that it would just feel like a long run the whole way around, and that was not the case. I actually felt pretty good, I remember, at 30 Ks, and then I had a bad drink and I got a stitch and I thought, oh, the whole thing's over here. So I had to slow down a bit and try and get my breath back. I couldn't get my last gel down. And then going up the backside of the tan there was really hard. I don't know, that's about 38, 37 or 38 K. And then you start seeing carcasses everywhere and
a lot of people nodding their head right now.
I managed to hold on, and that was the main thing. I'm not a particularly sort of strong runner, but I seem to be able to maintain paces as I go. That seems to be prevalent in the longer the runs go.
Hey mate, I'm winding back something here. I know you talked about getting into running around that pre-COVID time, through COVID, all the rest of it. But were you into sport at all? Were you doing anything as a kid? Was there? I know you said you might have maybe had a bit of fun there in your 20s and 30s. But what was your lifestyle like back then? Like, was sport even part of the conversation as a kid or in your teens?
Yeah, so I mean, I played footy and cricket religiously growing up, and I ran in high school. I had a good cross-country result when I was in year 8 or something, and the athletics coach said, well, do you want to come and have a go at this? And I ran everything from 100 to 800. I wasn't particularly good at sort of any of them, but good enough to sort of make a team and make a relay team usually. And I did enjoy it, but once school finished, then it was footy and cricket, really. But I wasn't good at, particularly good at, you know, I was a twos and threes cricketer and footy player. So I enjoyed the social side of it more than, and the, just having the teammates around. The footy and the cricket was just an excuse. Mm. Certainly didn't hold any aspirations of playing, you know, senior footy or anything like that. So, but once I had a knee reconstruction and things like that. So once I got to the end of footy in like 2012, I think, running was kind of, I liked it because it didn't seem to get injured as much.
Yeah.
And it was a bit more, you could sort of do it anywhere and it was relatively inexpensive. And it was something that I was always could pick up and do a little bit better than anything else. I could sit on the couch for 5 years and get out and still run a decent 5K without too much trouble.
Yeah, you probably touched on a few points there that has seen this surge in people getting into running and starting, you know, in their, maybe after they've had a bit of a, like, you know, a sporting career, then gone work life and then got into a sport, and we're kind of, you know, people are likening it to the, you know, the new golf and the social side, and that people like yourself are really enjoying the fact that they can do it in their own time, and in your case, you've come out and just blitzed from just jogging around to now getting into track races and running big PBs. And just on those PBs, your recent PB just off the weekend was the Geelong River Run, 34.50. How the legs? And talk to us about that race.
So I pulled up really well, which is pleasing. And a lot of that goes to Sammy as well. He's pretty he's sort of got me figured out, it would seem, in terms of programming. The race was great. The conditions were perfect. And there was two guys who we were sort of chatting about a kilometre in, about what we wanted to run, which was sort of that around 35 minutes. And at about the 3K mark, I sort of said, look, we were sort of running almost across. And I said, look, we're just going to be better off going in a straight line here and taking a kilometre each, which I don't know what you guys have found, but I'm amazed at these events that aren't for money or team points, how much people don't work together. They seem to be like you're racing the guy next to you, when in reality, you sort of are over the last kilometre. But for the first, you know, nine, we're better off helping each other rather than trying to knock each other out. I've been amazed at that in running, how much people will let you do the work if you lead a group or a small pack. Whether you're running 40 minutes or an hour for 10K, it's amazing how many people will just sit on your ass the whole time and not bloody do any work.
Yeah. Different in club running when you're going for points and all that. Yeah, it's interesting. And maybe some of it is that you're getting athletes that don't really know what pace they're going or if they're going to sustain it, and they're kind of just duking it out. You don't know if you should put the trust in them to carry off, you know, cut a deal with someone and be okay, and then they fall away. But yeah, it's an interesting point you make.
Yeah, so these guys were great. There was just three of us almost taking it in turns, and then we sort of had a bit of a dash to the finish. But I was delighted with it. I thought I'd run sort of 35 high. And then I text Sammy and said, look, what do you think? And he said, oh, I think you'll run about 34.50. So he's pretty good at that. But it gave me the confidence to go, you know what, let's go chase it and see. Because I like to race. I like to sort of kick down a bit. I don't like to sort of thrash it and try and hold on. My better results have always been when I've had a bit in the tank. The risk of that is that you can get to the end with a bit in the tank. But I don't like that feeling of being gassed two-thirds of the way home and feeling like you're holding on, because I feel like my form drops away and then I just lose it a bit mentally. I always like to feel like I'm strong towards the end.
So, Andy, obviously you've had a fantastic summer of training and even the lead into summer. You go and roll 17 flat on the track and back it up with a 34.50, which is bloody impressive. I take my hat off to you, mate. I reckon that's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, we're in March, so looking forward to seeing what's coming up over the rest of the year. But what are some of the favourite sessions that you've done over this last sort of 3 or 4 months that have led you to the point you're at now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I must admit, the sessions that I like doing are the ones I sort of rarely get to do. I like the longer sort of tempos and the longer sustained effort work, which I suspect is partly why Sammy gets me doing a lot of the fartlek work. But I like the fartlek sessions, the moose, the mona. I think Brady Treufel's got one too that I've done. The Kenyan one, I'm not sure. I must admit, I kind of just look in the final surge and then get on with it. But sustained efforts are definitely my favourite kind of workouts, the longer tempos. I love the long run as well. Sometimes I get to do it with someone. I love the track workouts too, actually. I really enjoyed the track racing over the summer and doing, you know, the 400s and 800s and stuff. But you know, I'm the wrong side of 40 to be doing too much of that. So I'm looking forward to getting stuck into the marathon prep.
Did you spike up for the Pulse 5000 meters? We saw you run 17 minutes.
No.
I've
spent enough money on shoes over the last few years. Just the trusty Vaporflies.
Very nice. And was that your first 5K on the track? Or you jumped a couple of other ones before that?
No, I'd done one other one prior to that. Mm-hmm. I did one, I think it was the Collingwood Classic, which was, when would that have been? December, maybe?
Yeah, probably December, yeah.
Yeah, so I did that and then did this one, the Pulse one, and then I'll do Box Hill Burn in a few weeks because I really want to get under 17 minutes. I actually thought I'd done it last time and it came out 17 dead. So I want to have another go. I sort of, as soon as I finished, I said to Sam, text him saying, mate, I want to have another crack. So we'll see how we go there, but it would be nice to, 16:59 would be great.
Right. Box Hill's the place to do it. Yeah. I reckon if you run 17 at Collingwood, you're probably going to run a fair bit quicker than 16:59.
Why do you say that, Chris?
Box Hill track's like 380 meters, isn't it?
Yeah, no, she's short. No, the Box Hill, the track there, it's cut into the ground. So if you get a night where it's a bit windy, because it's built like everything's built up around it, there's just never any wind. So like I know at Bendigo, there's pretty much an avenue of, you know, just the wind just siphons down into the back straight of the track. You just can't help but there can be a breeze and it feels like a hurricane there. But Box Hill, you're protected at every angle pretty much. So,
okay, interesting.
Yeah, and also the depth of the events that they have at Box Hill, you tend to get a lot of good runners there, and the races are very tightly seated. So you typically do have really good packs at a very similar ability that will carry you on to a quick time. So...
Yeah, oh, okay, great.
A month down the track, you've had a 34:50 in the legs, and presumably a couple more workouts, and yeah, you'll absolutely smash that up.
Yeah, oh. I haven't spoken to Sammy, mate.
No pressure.
I reckon 16. You'll have a fair bit of time up your sleeve, I'm predicting, if you've run 34:50. So. Yeah, Sammy will fill you in, I'm sure, in the lead up. But, mate, I think you've put yourself in a great place to exceed your expectations, I reckon.
I think the interesting thing for someone like me as well, who perhaps came to running a bit late, is I'm a very inexperienced racer, and I think that's more prevalent the shorter the distance gets. I find racing the 5K, although it is sort of a time trial, trying to pace myself, it's hard to know where I'm at, you know, 2K, 3K mark.
Yeah.
Both races I've done, I've felt really different at similar stages of the race. So I think experience does count for a bit.
Yeah, track racing for sure. And yeah. If your season was focused on a 5K, you might do three or four before you hit the, you know, if you peak of your 5K, if that was your goal, right? But just on your training and doing these workouts, have you noticed over time just listening to you, you seem pretty in tune with your body, but have you noticed like that in your sessions that you're kind of able to like get in and sit on paces without having to look at the Garmin or the watch the whole time? And has that sort of filtered through to races with a bit of feel?
Yeah, it's amazing. How in tune with your paces that you can be. Like I can usually, that's sort of a game I used to play on long runs by myself actually, is guess how fast, you know, or guess my pace, and you can look down at your watch and you're usually within really close. But I think over the last 12 months I've noticed, and I think Sammy uses the term adaptation, but I'm just adapting better to the sessions. And I've found that it's locking onto the pace is easier, but running the paces has got progressively easier as you do more and more sessions. Running is such a, everything's a bit of a building block, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got a long memory. You know, you can build up over years and years and years. And it just becomes, oh, not easier, but it's easier to get to a workout pace and hold a workout pace the longer you do it and the more you do it.
Well, looking at your Strava bars and the big blue wall, the big fence that you've got there, you're a product of consistency. And I think that's prevalent in Sammy's athletes and the way he coaches and that philosophy of, yeah, just, you know, stacking weeks, week on week, blocks of training. And going back to Gold Coast, we mentioned in the opener, 250 up at Gold Coast last year.
Yep.
What sort of mileage were you hitting before that Gold Coast?
Nothing over 100 Ks in a week. I think 100 was my biggest week. And then everything was sort of, you know, I had a pretty strong base of sort of 60 to 70, 70 to 80, and then it just hovered around there. And I spoke about that with Sammy, actually, and he was adamant that you don't need to do 120, 130K weeks to run what I wanted to run, which was admittedly under 250, and I missed out by about 21 seconds, which was also a little bit frustrating. But the one thing I will say is I've not been injured at all, not one single niggle since I've been with him. And that was one of my things was, because I'm a little bit older, I was, well, just keep me in one piece a little bit. So I think he's done a great job of balancing mileage with keeping me in one piece. So all credit to Sammy for that, because it's getting injured sucks.
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head in for your consistency. What does a normal week look like for you at the moment?
So we're 6 days, 6 days a week. And there's a, you know, a Sunday longy in there, sessions Wednesday, Friday, easy run Monday. Oh no, sessions Tuesday, Friday, easy run Monday. Session Tuesday, sort of 70 minutes on a Wednesday, 40 minutes on a Thursday, session Friday, rest day Saturday, and then a longy on Sunday. And we try and incorporate some hills into the longy and things like that to help make up for perhaps a slightly less mileage. But I don't know if I want to be running 120 or 130 Ks a week anyway.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, mate, it's working at the moment. Anything off the track you're doing? You're doing anything in the gym? You're doing any core? You're doing recovery-wise? You're just looking at the foam roller, not actually getting on it?
I'm doing a bit of I actually was listening to Inside Running, I don't know, maybe a month ago, and Croaks was talking about he went to a physio and just sort of got a baseline strength test of his core and stuff like that. And I thought, that's not a bad idea. So I went and saw a physio and just said, kind of, I'm on this path to another marathon. What are some basic exercises I can do just with glutes and core and things like that? So I'm doing that 3 times a week, just doing some pretty basic exercises.
Yeah.
But I'm not a gym guy. You know, the running's... Between running and work and kids and stuff, I don't have any more time. So the running's great. And, yeah, as I said, Sammy's done a great job of keeping me in one piece. So there's been no injuries. And, yeah, I don't like the gym, Zach, to be honest. It's not my thing.
Yeah, I feel you.
Andy, it's, you know, the best part of 2 years that you've been working with Sammy, so 18 months to 2 years, and no doubt he's, I mean, look, your results, I think, speak for themselves. It's a real credit to yourself for your work ethic. But no doubt Sammy has passed on some pearls of wisdom along the way. What are some of the things that have, I guess, really stuck out in your mind or potentially been aha moments that you've had from Sammy over the journey so far?
Yeah, he's sort of a bit like a wise kind of, you know, I don't want to say old because that's disrespectful to him, but it's I just feel like he's been around the block, you know what I mean? So he's very good at kind of taking the emotion out of it. I tend to be very sort of you know, if I have a shitty session or I miss a have a bad race or whatever, I tend to sort of vent about it. Oh, well, I've stuffed this up and I've mucked that up. And he's pretty quick to just say, mate, this is this, this is that. We jump back on the horse. Let's keep going. He's good at, you know, sort of keeping me like pretty present in the training. Very good at reminding me not to overdo things, and just to sort of focus on, not an old footy cliche, but just a little bit at a time. Like, don't worry too much about the times, will take care of themselves. Let's just kind of put the work in. He's been pretty flexible, which has been good because I can be a bit of a pain in the ass with swapping things around. And I think more broadly, just understanding of work and family and allowing things to fit in around that. But he's, I don't know, he's just, I just trust him basically when it comes to race plans, training, nutrition, shoes, all that stuff. He's a real gearhead. He knows he knows a lot about shoes.
The shoe dog.
Yeah, I mean, I did my first marathon in a pair of Brooks Adrenaline or something, and when I spoke to him and I said, "Oh, look, yeah, here's my training and whatever," and I said, "Do you think like you can improve my times?" And he said, "I think we could have a go." Yeah. so yeah, I mean, he's taught me a lot, but mostly just to, you know, enjoy it and don't get so caught up in your own shit.
Nah, they're great. They're great learnings from Sammy. Chriso, time to put Andrew under the blowtorch with your quick question. It's been a little while between drinks on this one.
I had a fortnight since Rory, and like whilst it would be great to ask Elise the quick questions every week, yeah, there's only so often we can go to that well. But Andy, I know you've listened to the show a bit, so you'll have a bit of a feel for what's to come. But
I'm still nervous.
Yeah, and with good reason, because there's a couple of ones that we've just catered a little bit to yourself based on a little bit of news that might have slid into the DMs from some people that know you well. So we'll see when we get to those. But
oh god,
the easy ones to start off with, a couple of looseness. So this is your warm up. What are we going with on the wrist? Garmin, Chorus, Apple Watch. What's our weapon of choice?
Garmin 255 Music is the watch of choice.
Very understated, a classic.
I think that's what I've got.
Just check.
I don't know what I've got. I know it's got music and it's a Garmin. So
yeah, what is it?
I'm not a gearhead. Sammy knows that.
Nor am I. It's got everything I need and nothing I don't.
No, it's a very good watch. No, I'm impressed with that, mate. Good job. That's the watch I've got too. So, no, good stuff. You're a busy businessman, mate. What sort of phone are we using? iPhone, Android?
I've got an iPhone, but...
Yeah, but I'm hearing a but.
I don't know what model it is or anything like that.
Oh, that's fine. That's okay.
But no, I've been an Apple. I'm hooked on the Apple now.
No, good stuff. Favorite gels? What's your gel of choice for the long run and I guess for your marathon builds?
Well, my favorite, I like the Sis isotonic ones or whatever they are, but they don't fit in. I don't race in tights. I race in shorts, and I don't like having shit in my pockets. So I race with like one of those, you know, clip gel belt things.
Yeah.
And they don't really fit in there. So I've had to go to these smaller ones, which are the Coda. I don't know. They're slightly smaller, the little Coda ones. And I don't know. I bought a box of orange ones. I don't know what flavor they are. I don't really like gels. I take them because they're essential, but I haven't experimented too much, to be honest. I've never heard of them until, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago. So
what did you use at Melbourne in your first Mara?
I can't remember, Zach. Yeah. I might have had two science and sport ones. Yeah. I might have just carried one in each hand or something. I can't remember.
Love that. Where's that?
Mate, your most embarrassing injury that you've picked up, maybe on a, yeah.
Jeez, who's sent you that? That's that might be the coach. I did fall off my fence and break my ankle trying to break into my own house. And that happened. That was about a week after Melbourne, actually. So I'm glad I got the marathon in. But it put me. I didn't run for about 4 months after that. And then I was sort of back on the 1 minute, you know, 1 minute walk, 1 minute jog, to build the strength back into it. So, yeah, look, it wasn't my finest hour.
I gather you've just been having a few Devonshire teas down at Sydney.
Yeah, I'd been
in the afternoon with the lads.
I'd been at the MCG watching the cricket with my wife, actually. She had to help me inside off the pavement there. So, yeah, look, it wasn't my finest moment, that's for sure.
This question isn't on the list, but I'm curious. What were the feelings like as you were typing into Final Surge, at letting Sammy know that, hey, mate, I've done myself a bit of a mischief and I might not be able to run for a little bit?
He wasn't on the scene then. Sammy wasn't on the scene then. I don't even know if he knows about that, actually. Was he the one who sent that in, or was it someone else?
But he's got eyes on the ground.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah. No, look, that wasn't my finest moment, that's for sure.
This next one's one piece of advice for 18-year-old Andy. It could also apply to maybe 38-year-old Andy at the time, but one piece of advice for your 18-year-old self, what would you go back and pass on to the young fella?
That's a good question. I mean, everything in moderation, I think, Chris. I still enjoy, you know, a piece of pizza and a glass of wine and a beer and stuff. But moderation's the key with it to the enjoyment of life, I think. especially for the weekend, you know, sort of semi-casual runner like me.
I like that. That's very well said, actually. Mate, I know over the last 2 years, you've probably gone from someone who just enjoyed running on a casual basis to, you know, kind of almost being consumed by it now. But any race that you could go and do in the world, so we're talking open budget, is there a race out there that takes your fancy that, you know, you would just absolutely love to go and jump on the start line for?
It's a really good question. It's more who I could do it with, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the cities where the majors are, many of them I've been fortunate enough to visit. I also sort of like trail running too. And there's I did the Surf Coast Century, albeit in a relay team last year. I loved that. But there's my wife's doing Gold Coast this year. And she's been coached by Maddie, I think, actually.
Yeah, that one.
Yep, with you guys. So if I could do a marathon with her, and then there's some guys who I work with, we've sort of got a group. We're sort of a running group. We run a little bit together and stuff, but, you know, we give each other a lot of shit, and we kind of, you know, we're on each other's Strava, and we're not similar abilities, but if I could run with those guys at a start line somewhere all together, always one of us is injured. It's always something like that. But if we could all sort of run the same race and then go and have some lunch afterwards and some beers, I don't really care where it is. New York would be great, London, whatever. I think the best part about the running's probably been, you know, without being too cheesy about it or whatever, but it's the people, and, you know, when you have a good race and someone else does too, sharing that afterwards is the best part. Wouldn't be as much enjoyment, I think. And also with when you've got families and stuff, you know, families give up a lot for people to go running, you know, Sunday morning long runs and stuff, and you're driving all over the place, and, you know, you're flying to run in events. So it's sort of a shared sacrifice. So yeah, it wouldn't be as rewarding doing it by yourself, I don't think. It's always better with the people.
No, I think that's what generates the memories. I think as you get
Yeah.
older, you soon like, yes, the PBs are great, but at the end of the day, it's a number, and it's the memories and the smiles and the laughs that you've had through running. They're the things that tend to spark up in the brain a bit more often. So no, I love that answer, mate. I think that's so cool to hear that. Love it. You spoke about celebrating, and you're a man who, probably in your younger days, there wasn't so much moderation, but now in your older, wiser days, what's the beer and pizza of choice these days?
Oh, beer of choice. Any of the Italian lagers, Peroni, Menabrea, anything like that. Moretti, love all of those. Pizza of choice. Oh, our local pizza shop just closed, actually.
Oh no. What?
But it would be.
This is that's because you've been showing too much
Yeah,
moderation.
yeah. I haven't been buying enough pizza. Pizza of choice. Certainly, like, I need a bit of margarita in there because I like, good cheese and stuff. But anything with prosciutto, chili, something like that. Real minimalist.
Like that. Good quality fresh ingredients.
It,
Like it.
precisely. Yep. No doubt about it.
No, I like this. Mate, you've received a bit of an education in the running gear industry over the last sort of 18 months.
Yeah, I feel like I've
You
got an accelerated sort of
can
master's from Sammy.
But what are your favorite running brands? What sort of you go to? And it doesn't we're not talking just shoes here, but what's your favorite stuff?
So I love the On stuff, the shoes and the gear. The Cloud Monsters are probably my, like, it's just an all-round shoe. They're probably my favorite shoe. But I wear mostly Nike stuff. Like, it fits me. It's pretty affordable for the gear, and then the shoes, the Vaporfly 3. Would that be the most recent one? I don't know. When I put those on, I couldn't believe it. I also loved my pair of Endorphin Speed, the Saucony Endorphin Speed. I love those too. But I haven't bought a lot of gear outside of that. I mean, I've got a heart rate monitor and some gloves and a hat because I'm bloody bald. But it's outside of Nike and On, I haven't got much else. I tend to just, if it fits, let's go. Shoes are a bit more. Socks are a funny one too, actually. I'm big on, I can't even think of the name of them now.
Wagon or oat or
No, my
so
goodness.
you're the sock man. Are you got color combos when you go the sock? Are you going a half sock, quarter?
Yeah, the half crew, and I like the sock to match, like, the inner lining of the shoe. Yeah. The socks have to match the shoes. I don't know why I'm funny about that, but I am.
No, but mate, it's look good, feel good. It's
Science.
scientifically proven to lead to fast times. So,
Can you give
mate,
us any thoughts on socks? Because I've been in light feet, I think they're called. I've been in them forever, and I tried some Steigen ones, and didn't. They were too thin, and my feet slipped around in them. I've never tried Features though.
Yeah, you beat me to it. I think if you're someone who doesn't, in my job, I will say all of those sock brands are really good. So please don't anyone listen to this and think I'm shitting on anyone. If you don't like the thinness of a Steigen sock, I think a Features sock is a really good way to go. They do have a couple of different thicknesses, but it does feel a little bit more cushioned. There's some brands out there like In Silence who they have a cycling sock and a running sock, and the cycling sock's a little bit thicker again. They're a little bit longer than your half crew, but they've got some pretty cool designs. So you could probably jump on their website, mate, and find a whole new wardrobe of socks to match the shoes. But probably Features would be a good one for you to have a look at based
Yeah,
on
okay.
they've got a a series of lengths. The colors are pretty cool. They're probably not, I mean, they're good, not super bold. So yeah, if you like something that's a little bit understated with a splash of color, they're not a bad way to go. But
Understated with a splash of color is exactly me. I'm
there you
not,
go.
I don't like the fluoro oranges and stuff. That's not quite my, I'm not a good enough runner to be wearing those colors.
Now it's not about that. So
Yeah,
but no, I think go and check features out. I think if it could be the way to go. Mate, rank these in order, so one being the best, three being the worst. Not that there is a worst, but one's the favorite here. So one, two, three, track, road, or trails.
oh.
It's a bit like asking who's your favorite child,
It
and
is a little bit.
that's my next question, but no.
I think road is number one because I just love the marathon is by far my favorite. I mean, I've only done two of them, but there's something about it. So road is by far number one. Oh, it's hard to split the other two. I'll say trail. Trail is definitely harder, but it can take you to more interesting places. But I love the track series, but it's a bit, I'll never run shorter than 5K on a track, and I'll never run longer than 5K on a track. So for that reason and that reason only, we'll go road, trail, track.
Not tempted to mix it with the young kids in the 1500 at the Miles Club.
No, I don't think so. I
Yes.
saw that that young kid from New South Wales who beat Jake Whiteman the other night.
Pretty special.
Oh, incredible. I think I'll leave the miles and 1500s to those guys.
Very good. I know the Vaporfly is the shoe of choice for the fast stuff, but for the easy days, we've got one easy day shoe that you had to go with. What's the favorite at the moment?
It's the OnCloud Monster for sure. Yeah, it's a great, it's really versatile. It's easy to do, heaps of mileage in, but you can also get rolling a bit in it as well. I haven't tried a lot of others, admittedly, but be hard pressed to find a shoe that I like better than that for just sort of everyday mileage.
Monster 2 coming soon, might be already out. Must be this month. And a Cloud Monster 2 doesn't have the, because I'm guessing with some of the trails or some of the runs you do, you come back with a few boulders that
Yeah,
have
gum nuts and rocks in
picked
the
that up.
bloody crack in the middle. Yeah, that is true, actually. I think they have removed that, have they, Zach?
The new the 2 doesn't have that. There's big lugs in them, so
Have
you'll
you
be
guys
happy
worn
about
them?
that. And then
Have you
there's some
guys
other
worn them?
some cool Cloud Monster sort of styles coming later in the year from my whispers. So mate, On's doing some great things, so I reckon you'll be loading up over throughout the year.
Yeah, I've just got into a new pair of the old ones, but oh, these days it doesn't take too long to get through a pair of shoes,
No.
which is disappointing. Because they don't give them away, do they?
Nah, they're not getting any cheaper.
No,
No. But I
it's a cheap sport though, Andy.
yeah,
Investments. We're just saying it. They're all investments.
yeah. But I think, you know, for someone who's maybe getting into running a little bit, like I've had some mates who are sort of, you know, thinking about getting into it, is you should go and buy yourself some gear. And like once you've established that you like running, going to get like a session shoe or something like that is great because it's a bit of a change up and it's got a bit of rocker in it, and you feel, you know, like if you look the part and you've got some gear, I feel like you're more likely to go lace them up when it's freezing or it's wet or you can't be bothered. I do think there is something in that. Investing in a bit of gear sort of gets you in the mood. No one wants to go in a pair of shitty old ripped shorts and a, you know, a pair of old sneaks that have done, you know, 2,000 Ks.
Go and
So
see Sammy at the running company. He'll
yeah. the running company Yarraville, and Sammy will clean out your month's paycheck for sure.
Oh dear. Hey mate, I'm really interested because I guess you've been, you're still relatively new to the scene, but do you have any, like, I guess Aussie athletes that you sort of follow that, you're really sort of keen to see how they do? Obviously being an Olympic year, have you got any faves that you're keen to follow this year?
I've sort of learnt a lot through IRP about the state of Australian distance running. I've got to say, my parents live down on the Surf Coast. From what I can only assume is, they live in Fairhaven, which is next door to Aries Inlet, which is where sort of Ellie lives, Ellie Pashley. So I have sort of kept sort of half an eye on her, but just out of proximity, really. But that the women's marathon team's going to be really interesting. They're a pretty good group at the moment. So I'm enjoying watching them go around. And on the men's side of things, definitely Cam Myers. Is that his name? Cam Myers?
Yep.
Yeah. Definitely interested to see what he can do. But him and Stewie McSwain and the other guy, the other 1500, the
Ollie
Com
Hall.
Games. Ollie Hoare. Keen to watch how those guys go. And then, of course, Brett Robinson and those guys in the marathon. So all of those sort of names. I must admit, I did watch Jack Rayner's half marathon win from about in Cardiff or wherever it was in like 2018 or 2019 when he was running with the Africans.
That was cool.
That was an amazing run. And yeah, he's gone past me a couple of times at Albert Park on a workout. And yeah, I mean, it's a different sport what those guys do compared to what I'm doing. But I think it's just, I've said this to you, Zach, before, but I just don't think that the sport does a good job, but not a good enough job. I don't think the average person on the street knows how good these guys are. So yeah, I'd love to see them promoted heading into the Olympics a bit more. And, hopefully, because, it's unrealistic to expect, Brett Robinson to win the marathon, but, a good result's still a good result. And I don't think they shine enough light on how hard it is at the top there.
Do you think this new breed we talked about earlier, like this explosion of club run, run clubs and people getting into the sport, hopefully that's a way in that we can kind of showcase to a wider demographic and a group of people that, hey, these guys, like whilst you're doing your run club, you're running whatever, and I guess getting pace out of it, but like at least being exposed to maybe what the top guys are doing, maybe they follow it a little bit more. I think it's probably on events, we saw the On Track Classic Night of 10, and making the sport a bit more exciting and appealing for just the regular punters. Like, how do we get those across? Because your background is in media and in things like that, so there's some things you've been thinking about how we can get people into the sport, these exposure.
Yeah, I think it's just such a great sport, and it is an individual sport, but it kind of takes an army. And I think what will help bring people in is the gear. I mean, running gear is cool now. Everybody gets around in activewear, and the manufacturers have done a great job of sort of getting people to, the streetwear and the athletic wear, athleisure is crossing over. And I think that is helping bring eyeballs to the sport, albeit through a backdoor kind of way. But look, the Olympics is always the best opportunity. And, imagine if we had Cathy Freeman in the age of social media and things now, that race in Sydney in 2000. I mean, if we had that, the sport would just go bananas.
Yeah, I think we're due for an athlete who transcends into the mainstream. Like Usain Bolt was probably the last one that we truly had that the average person knew who that was. And I think with the Olympics this year, it could be the time where there's been this big surge in recreational running. I think it's, you almost need to book a lap at the tan at the moment, don't you, Zachar, on a Saturday morning?
I'm racking up the fees, mate, with the gate, as Sammy calls it, the gate charges.
Yeah. But this could be the year where there's more eyeballs on the product. And I think the way they cover track races too at these major events has improved dramatically to try and illustrate and get a sense of feel for just how quick these ladies and gentlemen are moving. And I think someone like a Jakob Ingebrigtsen could, his popularity could explode, by if he has a 1500-meter run where he goes out and challenges a world record or potentially streets the field. I mean, he just so happens to get done by people from the UK every time a major event rolls around. But it could be someone like him, or I don't know, who knows. But there'd be so many eyeballs on the product in a friendly time zone too for us here in Australia. So I can't wait for the Olympics this year. It's what, we're in March, and I'm hyped for it already.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be a fun one to watch, and I think I wish Jakob was a bit more had a bit more charisma.
Well, him and I'm half expecting him and Josh Kerr to throw down on a start line at some point. You want some
Where's this
eyeballs
point
on
with
the
him? But
product. Like, that's where the
well,
eyeballs are going to be.
The rivalry. But we saw a little bit of it with Pete Bowle with off the back of what he did, and we did. He's been able to transcend into mainstream and get some eyeballs. But I wonder if he or it could be Myers. It could be the hands of a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old that makes a final and just has everyone absolutely captivated. So.
And Myers, and maybe not this year, but maybe 20, leading into 2026, someone like Claudia Hollingsworth, I
Yeah,
think.
she was the one I was going to mention. If those two can kick on, it'll be Brisbane in 2032, in like 8 years' time. I mean, if they're still fit and firing and loving the sport, I mean, they could be massive for track and field. Like, that's what you wish for, is that you've got
Starting the
two
machines.
great Australians for a home Olympics.
Jess Hole.
It's gonna be a big year.
Yep,
I
for
got one more
sure.
question, Chris.
I yeah, one more. I could pro I've probably another 10 that I'll go to, but Andy, one meal for the rest of your life. We're talking breakfast, lunch, dinner. I'll allow some subtle variations, but what are we going with?
This is the easiest question I've ever answered. Is it the steak? There's no doubt about it.
All
Yeah.
right. How are we whipping a steak for breakfast? Talk to me. I'm listening. I'm very interested.
Just a little like a minute steak, something nice and thin.
Little.
Maybe with an egg.
Steak, like a steak sandwich type setup, or.
Steak and eggs, no problems. Breakfast of champions.
Mate, that's the, that was the, that would have been the, well, no, you're not that old of that vintage, but we're talking 1980s. Steak and eggs was the go-to breakfast before footy.
I'm not that old.
I know. I did
Having
clarify
cigarettes at half time.
that.
Steak is breakfast, lunch, and dinner, no problems.
Well, okay. So open budget. What's our steak meal look like? What steak are we going to? How's it cooked? What sauce? Talk to me, because we've had a few people that have come to us and told us about their steak dinners, but
Remember Bowen, I think had a
I'd probably do.
Brady's pain. He makes him up
Yeah.
enough with my RP.
If Brady's paying, I'm probably going for like a reverse seared ribeye on the bone or something like that. Or like a thick cut piece of porterhouse, or even like a rump cap. I love rump cap. But yeah, reverse seared and then cook it on the I've got one of those ceramic, like Kamado style charcoal cookers. Oh, it does the best steak. So finish him off on that. Hot English mustard, bit of roughage on the side, bowl of rocket or something, and then a couple of chips and a bottle of red, and off you go.
Mate, that's Sunday long run fuel right there.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly
I
right.
love it.
That's us. Well, mate, really appreciate you jumping on. You survived the quick questions. I don't know why you were nervous. You've absolutely aced them.
I feel like they weren't that quick in the end. I feel like I was cracking up for ages. But...
Quick in name only, mate.
Thanks for having me on, guys. And I've sort of, I've only been introduced to this world of the sort of the media and running side of things, and like the work that you guys put in to sort of bring the sport to life a little bit is certainly very much appreciated. I know how long content takes to produce, and it can be hard to monetize at times. So thanks a lot for having me, and keep up the great work.
No, I really appreciate that, Andy. And looking forward to seeing your next few races. You continue that that trend upwards and Box Hill, mate, where you'll burn up the track.
Yeah, hopefully. Thanks.
Good luck, mate. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
See you, mate.